Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. And today we are very fortunate to have with us His Grace Jayananda Gaurang Prabhuji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining this session and giving your very valuable and time and association this mid-morning and enlightening on the topic of Antya Leela. I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. you're able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. Om Agnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshurumin Nitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namini Namacharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayini Gaura Katha Damadaya Nagara Grama Tarine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyadesha Tarini Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare My humble obeisances to all the assembled Vaishnavas here. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, chapter 10, verses 142 through the end of this chapter. I will read the first verse and then we will read the translations for the rest of the verses in this chapter. Shivananda Senera Suna Nimantrana Khyana Shivanandera Badaputrera Chaitanya Dasa Nama. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jai. Now, hear about the invitation of Shivananda Sena extended to the Lord. His eldest son was named Chaitanya Dasa. When Shivananda brought his son, Chaitanya Dasa, to be introduced to the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired about his name. When the Lord heard that his name was Chaitanya Dasa, he said, "What kind of name have you given him? It's very difficult to understand." Shivananda Sena replied, "He has kept the name that appeared to me from within." Then he invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch. Shivananda Sena had brought very costly remnants of Lord Jagannath's food. He brought it in and offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sat down to accept the prasadam with his associates. Because of Shivananda Sena's glories, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate all kinds of prasadam to honor his request. However, the Lord ate more than necessary and therefore his mind was dissatisfied. The next day, Chaitanya Dasa, the son of Shivananda Sen, extended an invitation to the Lord. He could understand the Lord's mind, however, and therefore he arranged for a different kind of food. He offered yogurt, limes, ginger, soft bada, and salt. Seeing all these arrangements, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. It's the purport for this verse. By the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Dasa understood the Lord's mind. Therefore, he arranged for food that would counteract the heavy meal the Lord had eaten the previous day. Later in life, Chaitanya Dasa became a very learned Sanskrit scholar and wrote many books. Among these books is a commentary on Krishna Karnamrita, is famous. There is another book called Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a work of Sanskrit poetry. It is said that this was also composed by him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "This boy knows my mind, therefore I am very satisfied to accept his invitation." After saying this, the Lord ate the rice mixed with yogurt and offered Chaitanya Dasa the remnants of his food. The 4 months of Chaturmasya passed in this manner, with the Lord accepting the invitations from his devotees. Because of a heavy schedule of invitations, however, some of the Vaishnavas could not get an open day on which to invite the Lord. Every month, Gadadhara Pandit and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had fixed dates on which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would accept their invitations. Gopinathacharya, Jagadananda Pandit, Kashi Ishwara, Bhagavan, Ramabhadracharya, Shankara, and Bakreshwara, who were all Brahmanas, extended invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered him food cooked at home, whereas other devotees would pay 2 panas of small conch shells to purchase Jagannatha Prasadam and then invite the Lord. At first, the cost of Jagannatha Prasadam for an invitation was 4 panas of conch shell, but when Ramachandra Puri was there, the price was cut in half. The devotees who came from Bengal stayed with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 4 consecutive months, and then the Lord bade them for farewell. After the Bengali devotees departed, the devotees who were the Lord's constant companions at Jagannath Puri stayed with the Lord. Thus, I've described how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted invitations and how he accepted and tasted the prasadam offered by his devotees. In the midst of the narration are descriptions of Raghava Pandit, bags of food, and the dancing in the temple of Jagannatha. One who hears about the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and love will certainly attain ecstatic love for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without fail. Narrations of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities are just like nectar to hear. Indeed, they satisfy both the ears and mind. One who tastes the nectar of these activities is certainly very fortunate. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunatha, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Dasa, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. So, these are the last set of verses in this chapter. And it talks about the interactions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Shivananda Sen and his family. So, Shivananda Sen is the 24th branch of the Chaitanya tree. And he was an extremely confidential servant of the Lord, of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everyone who went to Jagannath Puri to visit the Lord took shelter and guidance from Shivananda Sen. So let's also see how Shivananda Sen described by other Vaishnavas. So in our Sampradaya, the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I want to specifically mention him today. He has described Shivananda Sen as a resident of a place called Kumarahatta, and that he was a great devotee of the Lord. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur further says that this place, about 1.5 miles away from this Kumarahatta, is another village. And the deities of installed by Shivananda Sen are there. And they are called as the Gauragopala. The Gauragopala deities, they have been installed by Shivananda Sen. And it is installed in the temple of Krishna Raya, and it's still existing. And we get to know these from the descriptions provided by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Shivananda Sen was the father of Paramananda Sen. So he had 3 children, And this Paramananda Sen is not mentioned in these set of verses here today that we read, but and he was called as Puridasa, and that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had called him so, and he later was very popular with the name as Kavi Karnapura. So Paramananda Sena, so he, or Kavi Karnapura, he wrote famous, he's written many scriptures. In fact, it's said that he's written scriptures non-stop for like about 10 years he wrote. And one of the famous books that he wrote was called as Gaura Ganodesha Deepika. So it's a very famous one. It gives the identities of everybody in the Chaitanya Leela as when the Lord descends from the spiritual planet, and when he is visible to the to us here in this material world, he comes along with all his associates. So this book of Kavi Karnapura, who was the first named as Paramananda Sena, he identifies everybody in the Chaitanya Leela, and what are their, and who were they in the Krishna Leela. So, and that, and he has identified two of the gopis of Vrindavan, and whose names were Duti and Vira, and they combined together to form their his father Shivananda Sena. So that is the identity being offered by in the book by Kavi Karnapura. So, and Vira Devi is it's not widely described, but then she plays an important role in the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna, and she lives in a place called as Yavata, and it's the same town where Srimati Radharani's was there during her years as in her so-called marriage, and she was a very good friend of Srimati Radharani's so-called mother-in-law. And Shivananda Sen is very well known because of every year the Chaturmasya, he used to guide all the devotees from Bengal and who went from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. And he, in fact, took all the expenses for the trip. He bore all the expenses for their journey. And there are some famous things about him, about the episode with the dog, and how he was how he was equally disposed to animals, humans, everyone alike. And there was he took care, he even a dog, a stray dog in the trip from Bengal to Puri, Jagannath Puri. And in this way, he was completely self-realized in the absorption of Krishna. And there is a samadhi of Shivananda Sen. And this is called as Chau Shatha Mahanta Samadhi Pitha. And this is there in Vrindavan. And this is near the Radha Govinda temple. And but these samadhis, there are 64 samadhis here, but these are mixed. You know, it's not like they're actually there. Samadhi, there are three types of samadhis there. It's a famous place in Vrindavan called as the 64 samadhi place. And some of them are Nama Samadhi, which is the name based on the name. And some are Pushpa Samadhis, okay, that is Pushpa is flower. And the others are, you know, there were some samadhis there too, you know, where their spiritual body is there. So in this way, it's mixed. It's about 64 samadhis are there, and they're out of, and these are all the different Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas and the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's if you go to Vrindavan, it is near the Radha Govinda temple. So in near the Radha Govinda temple, and these devotees are they are Vaishnava authorities and the 64 most confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya. And one of those samadhis is that of Shivananda Sena. And so there are three kinds of samadhis there. One is Pushpa Samadhi, which is flower. One is Smriti, in their remembrance, and that is Nama Samadhis. There are three kinds of samadhis there. But most of them are Nama Samadhis. It's named after them. And Chaitanya Dasa is who appears in this particular set of verses is the oldest son of Shivananda Sen. And he wrote, Prabhupada himself mentions here that he wrote the, writes a commentary here on Krishna Karnamrita, okay, which was later translated by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and sorry, Bhakti Vinoda Thakur, and in his paper, in his, what he has written, it is called as Sajjana Toshani. So this book is where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, sorry, Bhakti Vinoda Thakur, he writes about, it's a translation of Sri Krishna Karnamrita. Krishna Karnamrita is a very well-known book, and it was something taken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his trip to South India. So there were two important scriptures that he gets from his trip to South India, and one is Sri Krishna Karnamrita, and is in Sanskrit it is called Sri Krishna Karnamritam. Okay, and it was written by Sri Vilvamangala Thakur. So Vilvamangala Thakur is very widely known for his books, and it's really an amazing set of Sanskrit work done, and it shows the amount of the kind of relationship Vilvamangala Thakur has with Krishna. And he was also called as Sri Leela Shukha, okay, Sage Leela Shukha. And this is where what the translation was written by, there was a work, a commentary on it written by Chaitanya Dasa, who's mentioned in these particular verses. And according to, and Prabhupada also says that according to many expert opinions, Prabhupada has written the purport here that Chaitanya Dasa was also an author of a book called as Chaitanya Charita. And this Chaitanya Charita was also called, also known as Chaitanya Charitamrita, to be distinguished from the most widely read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which we are reading here. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Charita of Chaitanya Dasa is a book written in Sanskrit language. And some people, I think, is sometimes it's confused that it is written by Kavikarnapura. It is, but the opinion of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is that it was not written by Kavikarnapura, and it was written by Chaitanya Dasa. Okay, and who is the oldest son of Shivananda Sen, who is there in these, who's been described in these set of verses. So, and we already said, you know, Kavikarnapura is the third son. The second son, his name is called Ramadasa. And the third son is called Karnapura. Okay, and this third son, he was originally called as Paramananda Dasa or Puridasa. And Puridasa was initiated by Srinath Pandita, and who was a disciple of Sri Advaita Prabhu. So, and Kavikarnapura also wrote many books, and that are very important in Vaishnava literature. And some of the famous books that Kavikarnapura had written are Ananda Vrindavana Champu. It's a famous book, Alankara Kaustubha. And then the most famous one, which is widely read, is called as Gaura Ganadesha Deepika. And the great epic he has written is called Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka. So as we know, there are many, many biographies of Lord Chaitanya. And the most widely read, of course, is the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is written by Krishnadas Kaviraja, which we are, Goswami, which we are reading here. And then we have the Chaitanya Bhagavata, which was originally called as Chaitanya Mangala, but then it was renamed as Chaitanya Bhagavata by Jiva Goswami and others. And it was written by Vrindavana Das Thakur, which was the originally written, the first written biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there is Chaitanya Mangala, which is written by Lochanadas Thakur, and which predominantly describes the mellows and the mellows associated in the different pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And then when Mahaprabhu went to the South India, at that time, there was Prabhodananda Saraswati, who was the brother of Venkata Bhatta, the head priest in the Srirangam temple. So he had written a book on in Sanskrit, which predominantly describes the mellows and the how the devotees perceived the actions and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It gives a lot about the rasas in what kinds of mellows have been exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how it was felt around in terms of his dancing and how it was received and everything. It's about 100 and odd verses and very amazing Sanskrit literature that is called Chaitanya Chandramatha. And then you have one called as Krishna Chaitanya Charitra Mahakavya, and that was written by Murari Gupta. He was a physician at that time. And Murari Gupta, and that is also a book in Sanskrit, and it's called Krishna Chaitanya Charitra Mahakavya. And then here we have a description of two more books here. One is, of course, written by Kavikarna Pura, which is also pretty widely read, and that is called as Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, okay, or very popularly called Chaitanya Chandrodaya. And Chaitanya Chandrodaya, to be distinguished from the Chaitanya Chandramrita, which is written by Prabodhananda Saraswati. And then there is another one here written by Chaitanya Dasa, who is the older brother of Kavikarna Pura, who wrote Chaitanya Chandrodaya. And that was Chaitanya Charita, also called as Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this way, there are so many biographies. It just tells the depth of affection and love that the associates of Mahaprabhu had for him, which is, I have really not known anybody who has had these many set of biographies in these modern times, in the past. You know, it's like so many biographies, so many in depth. Everybody talking about it they're all spiritual books from taking it from a different angle. Chaitanya Bhagavata, for instance, gives a lot of description of the initial pastimes. Chaitanya Charitamrita is pretty comprehensive, but the middle and the latter pastimes are more elaborate. And then Chaitanya Mangala gives a lot about the mellow. So every one of these scriptures is a treasure for the Vaishnavas who have immense affection and love towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand, to at least to a little extent, about the glories of Mahaprabhu and what he has done for and his leela and activities. So so that is a brief introduction of Shivananda Sen and Chaitanya Dasa, who are mentioned in these particular verses. So let's spend a little time just talking about offering food to the Lord and honoring the food that has been accepted by the Lord. So let's start with the remnants of food. Okay, so that is, so what we are seeing here is the remnants of food that have been accepted by Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, and then how it turns into a nectar after it touches his lips. So it surpasses heavenly nectar, and even the great devas, Brahma, Lord Shiva, find it very difficult to obtain that food which has been offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the remnants left by Krishna, that is what is the Maha Prasadam. And anyone who obtains even a small portion of this is to be considered as very fortunate. So here in these verses, we see that how Lord Chaitanya gave the remnants of his food to Chaitanya Dasa. He always kept the remnants, and that is his mercy. And one who is only ordinarily fortunate, okay, so ordinarily fortunate is somebody who is materially they may appear fortunate, but spiritually they are in an unfortunate position. It's an unfortunate position. Material fortunate position is called is an ordinary fortunate. They cannot obtain such mercy. They cannot obtain such mercy. So only persons who have the full. So this is something which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one of the latter chapters, I think he himself will describe this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, it will describe that only persons who have the full mercy of Krishna can receive such remnants. Okay, so, and he uses the word there, Mahaprabhu himself uses the word there called as Sukriti. So the Sukriti here, one should not be confused with some kind of a material pious activities and the results of such pious activities, but this is a spiritual activity. The word su means good or pious. Kriti is an action. Okay, sukriti refers to pious activities performed by the mercy of Krishna. Even though the individual living entity, the jiva soul, who is in the Tatashta Shakti or the Marjana energy, might be performing those so-called activity, it is all done by the mercy of Krishna. And one who is fortunate enough to obtain such mercy receives the remnants of the Lord's food and thus becomes glorious. So ordinarily, one might think, okay, so one who is constantly, even those who are constantly eating Krishna Prasadam, sometimes, after some time, they may not, it is possible that they may not be realizing how fortunate it is, but it is an extremely fortunate situation, because most people in this world are unfortunate, because they are not unable to obtain the mercy of the Lord, which is Prasadam. So Prasadam is so widely described throughout the Vaishnava literature. So that is why it is said, Maha Prasade Govinde Nama Brahmane Vaishnave Swalpa Punya Vatam Rajan Vishwase Naiva Jayate. So there are four things. If somebody is unfortunate, they don't get faith in four of the things. And what are those things? Maha Prasade. So one is the remnants of the food that has been offered to the Lord. So they don't get any faith in that. Maha Prasade Govinde. So they don't have any faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. Nama, in the names of Krishna. They don't get any faith in the names of Krishna, that they might think this, the name of Krishna is some mundane name, and being from the material domain and without understanding that the name Krishna does not belong to the material world, it is spirit in nature and non-different from the spiritual personality or the absolute truth, Krishna, who is known as Govinda. So in this way, they don't get faith in the Nama or the Krishna, that is the Krishna Nama. And the last one is the Brahmana. So the Brahmana, the Vaishnavas, okay? Nama, Brahmane, Vaishnave. So in the Vaishnava, they don't get faith in the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, okay? So that is these are the four things. Mahaprasade, Govindhe, Nama, Brahmane, Vaishnave. So they don't get, okay, Swalpa Punya, that is the opposite of the word Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses. It will come in a latter chapter where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Sukriti. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking about the positive thing here, that if one has Sukriti, that is spiritually pious activities, then by the mercy of Krishna, they can get Prasadam. But then this verse is saying the opposite thing. If one is unfortunate, then Swalpa Punya Vatam Rajan Vishwasu Naita Nevajayate. So they don't get faith in these kinds of things. And so they are unable to realize the glories of the Mahaprasad. So, and therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, oh brothers, so this material body is a network of ignorance. Okay. And that the senses are one's deadly enemies. Okay. So our different senses are our deadly enemies. Okay. They therefore throw the soul into an ocean of material sense enjoyment. And among those senses, the tongue is the most voracious and the most wicked. So it is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. So that is why Prabhupada first says, whatever it is, the first thing that needs to be conquered is the tongue. The sense gratification for us to eat is the first thing that needs to be conquered. And it is very difficult to do so. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur further says that the Lord Krishna is very merciful. And in order to help us to control the tongue, he has given us the remnants of Krishna's own food called as Mahaprasad. Now, please eat these nectarian prasadam, okay, that while singing the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, okay, and in love we call out Chaitanya and Nithai, Jayanivai, Jayanithai. So we call them Jayanithai, Jayanithai, and then we accept, and this way Krishna will help us by slowly tasting this Mahaprasadam and having faith in it, then we will be able to conquer the tongue. And this is something which is widely cited everywhere in the Vaishnava literature. And artificial conquering of this tongue is not going to be of much thing, because the mind is still going to be there. You know, you have the subtle body, the mind is there, the mind intelligence, and they're all there. So the mind is still probably dwelling on the very tasty food. So artificial thing is not going to really help. So the best is to offer to the Lord, and eventually the material tongue will stop craving for sense gratification. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says the same thing in his Upadeshamrita. Okay, we see in the Nectar of Instruction that he talks about the qualifications of a devotee, that to control six important activities, and one is to control the tongue. It's there in the very first verse in the Nectar of Instruction. In Upadeshamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami says the same thing, that we need to, he gives precedence to speech, okay, but it's all there in the same verses, that we have to control, but it's all with the same tongue. The tongue is very voracious in terms of whether it is for speech or whether it is for food. We control the tongue, everything gets better. So Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that so we spoke here about what different Vaishnava Acharyas are talking about control of tongue and prasadam. So we first spoke about Lord Chaitanya himself citing how those with Sukriti or past pious spiritual activities are fortunate to get prasadam, which is the mercy of Krishna, which will come in the latter chapters. And then we spoke about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and how he talks about control of tongue, and how we need to only accept food that has been offered to Krishna in order to control our tongue eventually. And then third, we spoke about the verse in Mahabharat, okay, which is said, the verse Mahaprasadi Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi, that is the verse in Mahabharata. I think it is there in the Shanti Parva, I think. And then here, we spoke about Rupa Goswami and what he says about control of tongue, and both in terms of speech, as well as in terms of eating. And then that we cited from Upadeshamrita. And now let's also see what Sanatana Goswami has to say. So Sanatana Goswami, he explains that, you know, someone might ask a question. Okay, I think this is there in... This verses are there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I think. So if the Lord eats the food, how anything is left? So people might just go and then offer food to the Lord. And then people, those who are skeptical, they ask, okay, so you offered the food to the Lord, why is all that still left on the plate? So the answer is found, you know, because the Lord is so merciful. Daya, okay, is very merciful. So although the Lord eats all the food that is offered to him, okay, and he leaves no remnants, but he mercifully makes it full as before and then gives it back to his devotees. So he mercifully makes it full and gives it back to his devotees. And these remnants are called as Mahaprasadam and should be eaten without any consideration of who has touched them or where they were brought from, or what time it is. So we can even see that from a couple of chapters ago. We can also see that in the Madhya Lila, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings Mahaprasadam from Lord Jagannatha and gives it to his associate Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya very early in the morning. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has not even brushed his teeth. And depending on the way in which he has been, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is there, traditionally, he would not have even accepted those, but that prasadam. But then understanding the glories of the Mahaprasadam, he immediately accepts it, and showing that, setting an example, actually, that it really doesn't matter what time, under what circumstance, Mahaprasadam should be accepted as it is, because it is not anything material, and it is entirely in the spiritual domain. And it is non-different from Krishna himself because it has been tasted by Krishna himself. And therefore, by the merge, Purnam Adha, Purnam Idam, Purnat, Purnam Udachyate. So in this way, we see that everything is, even though the Lord accepts it, and he eats everything and leaves no remnants. And so what Sanatana Goswami is saying, but still he mercifully makes it full. Okay, still he mercifully makes it full. So that for his devotees, and that is why Sanatana Goswami is calling the Lord as Dayaluna. So that means he is very merciful, and therefore, under all contexts, one should accept the Mahaprasadam without any consideration for extraneous considerations, which are in the material platform. So I will tell a small story here about offering food to the Lord. And this is a story, this is a lecture actually given by my Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Jayaprataka Swami Guru Maharaj. And he has told this, and this story has been told and then repeated after that by many, 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 many times by many. I've heard it from by others as well. And it is about a deity called as Gopalakrishna. And he was very popularly, it's a Gopala deity, and he was, it's a Laddu Gopal deity. And so this is about offering food to the Lord and then accepting after that. And here, all these verses directly deal with offering food to Lord Chaitanya and accepting his remnants. And therefore, there was a father, and his name was Mukunda Nandana, and his wife, and then they had a son, a young boy, and his name is Raghu Nandana. So, but the father, he had to go out of town, and they had a deity there in their home, Laddu Gopal deity, whom they had to take care and offer food on every day. And but his father had to, one of his disciples, he was in deathbed, and his father had to go see his disciple. So he quickly gave initiation to his son in order to be eligible to serve the deities and offer food. So he quickly gave him the Gayatri mantra and instructed him how to worship the deities, and told him that if he had any questions, he could ask his mother about what to do, and his mother would tell him how to handle in the absence of his father. So the mother told him, his father left, and then his mother told him, gave him some instructions to go inside the deity room of their house and then ask the deities to accept the laddus. Okay, and the laddus were the what has been offered, and then to bring the plate back. So the Raghunandana, the son, he went to the deities and he put the sweets there, the laddus, and asked the deities to accept. And he kept saying, please accept the deities. But then it doesn't look like the deities were even accepting those laddus. So since the deities were not accepting, the Raghunandana started crying. And then the deity asked him, why are you crying? And then Raghunandana said that because you are not taking the laddus, but that his mother clearly told him that the deities would be eating and the deities would accept the laddus. And then having heard this, the deities immediately became a little boy, and then they started eating the laddus. And the boy came back with an empty plate back to the mother. And the mother looked at the empty plate, and then she asked Raghunandana, where are all the laddus? And then the boy said that the deities, they just came and they just ate them. And then her mother was wondering what exactly is happening. So every day when her father was not there, the kid was taking the offering to the deities, and then every day the empty plate was coming back. And then she was really wondering what was happening. And then when her father, Raghunandana's father came back, the mother told the father everything that was happening and how, the father, Mukundanandana, he said, okay, he will go hide inside the temple and watch what is happening. And then when he came behind, when he was hiding, and the boy was again asking the Laddu Gopal deities to accept the food, and he was listening to this, and he really did not hear anything. But then when he looked up, he saw that the deities, okay, in the fall, like a young boy was sitting there and he was eating the laddus. And then the father, he just gasped about what was happening. And then he really did not expect that the deities would be eating laddus, and he was shocked. And when he heard this, when his attention went there, the deities immediately again became stone. Okay, the deities again became stone. And the boy was having half the laddu in his hand. The deities just was able to ate half the laddu, and then the remaining half was still in the boy's hand. And then the boy then became very famous because the deities ate from his own hand. And then when the boy grew up, he established a temple of Lord Chaitanya, dancing in the place called Khatua. That's the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his sannyasa. So in this way, what we learn from here is, there are two things. One is here, in these set of verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that how the associates of the Lord are fortunate, and they are able to directly offer the food to Lord Chaitanya himself, and they are able to honor the prasadam after Lord Chaitanya accepts them. But then we also have we have so many instances where the Vaishnava devotees have interacted with the deities in their house, in temples. There are so many historical books, many, many deities which have, have interacted with devotees, have accepted food, accepted many Vaishnavas. It doesn't really, it's not just in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, it is there everywhere. So if we look at the temple in Udupi and in Karnataka, there we have how the deities have interacted. They have even moved around to satisfy devotees. And then we see that in the Radha Govinda temple in Jayapur, where the deities which were originally worshipped by Rupa Goswami were taken to Jayapur. And in Jayapur, it's the principal temple there. And there are so many instances. There is one pastime with pomegranates and how the deities were interacting with the gardener. And then there was another temple in Rajasthan where the deities interacted with a local poet, a Muslim poet, and how he I think his name is Taja Khan, I think his name is. So how the deities interacted there. And then there was another, and even in the south, in the some of the temples, the Sri Vaishnava devotees, they have also extensively been interacted with deities, talking with them, deities walking with them. And then we have instances with, and the famous incident in the Chaitanya Charitamrita itself is the the pastime described when Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, they were traveling to Orissa and with the Sakshi Gopal deities, and how the deities walked and all the way. And then we have so these kind of interactions with the deities are common among Vaishnava devotees, and there are many, many instances where the deities have, even in modern times, there are many instances where deities have interacted with people. So if one reads these pastimes of how the deities interact with the different devotees with faith, and then one can increase their appreciation for offering food to the deities without any skepticism, and improve their faith and become and progress further in spiritual life. So I'm going to stop here, and we can open the last another. There's another. We started the class a little earlier than 10 today, so we'll open this for discussion, and then I can, if there is any other pastimes of the deities or anything you want me to speak about any temples or anything, I'm happy to do so. But if it's a discussion, then you're also welcome to ask any question and share any thoughts that you may have. Thank you. பாஞ்சாக்கள் பத்ரவியாஸ்ட கிருபா சிந்துபிய வச்ச பதிதானாம் பாவனிபி வைஷ்ணவி பெருமாள்.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா பிரபு, தேங்க்யூ சோ மச் ஃபார் அ வெரி வண்டர்ஃபுல் கிளாஸ். ஐ ரியலி லவ் த கிளாஸ், த பியூட்டிஃபுல் ஸ்டோரி ஆஃப் ரகுநந்தன் அண்ட் ஹவ் கிருஷ்ணா ஆக்சுவலி லீவ் த பிரசாதம் அஸ் மர்சி, இட் இஸ் அவுட் ஆஃப் ஹிஸ் காட்லெஸ் மர்சி. ஸோ தட் இஸ் சோ நைஸ்லி எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ட். தேங்க்யூ சோ மச் பிரபு ஃபார் அ வெரி பியூட்டிஃபுல் கிளாஸ். ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா.
Anybody wants to share?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for beautiful class, for giving the background of Shivanand Sen and, you know, his children, glorious children, I should say. So, Prabhuji, I would just want to know about the samadhi that you were mentioning. What is Nama Samadhi? One is that I know Pushpa Samadhi and the Smriti where the spiritual body is there. But what is Nama Samadhi?
Mataji, I think you should really verify with somebody. But my thing would be it is named after them. And there is...
Named after them means I couldn't get it. Probably.
They have... The thing is, you know, I don't want to say something which I'm not very sure about, but my little knowledge, whatever I have, I will share with this. But I would really ask you to verify this with someone else who is from Vrindavan. And what I have known is about 150 years ago, the temple authorities of Srila Radha, of Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan, constructed a number of samadhis of Lord Chaitanya's associates from from 400 years before that. And and they are all called as Nama Samadhis. They are named after them in their memory. And it was a lot of them are not were not there during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. It was constructed, I think, much after that. And but they're all together. I think it's called as a 64 samadhi area in Vrindavan. So and it is very somewhere near the Radha Govinda temple actually. And but if you ask somebody from Vrindavan, they might be able to give you a better explanation. So, you know, I have limited knowledge about those, exactly what is how those samadhis were constructed. So thank you.
No worries, Prabhu. But thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for coming on the call, accepting our request, and you know, taking up this subject matter. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your association. Wonderful session.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Koti koti danvat pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Thank you very much for your deep, deep devotional association. Jai Jai Nityananda, Jai Jai Gauranga. Danvat pranam, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji.
Anyone else has any questions, any comments?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this very fantastic class, Glories of Prasadam. So I request the devotees, are there any questions for Prabhuji? Okay, so Kitida Mataji, are we doing Mangalacharan on this call? Pushpanjali?
No idea, Mataji. Never thought of, because I think so. Everybody must have done at their home. I did it.
Okay, so Uttam Shlok Prabhu is kept a message, so I'm asking Mataji. Okay, Mataji. Okay, so if there are no more questions, with Prabhuji's permission and with all the divorce permission, we can end the call today.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much again, once again, for this wonderful class and your time and association. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Vancha kalpatarubhyasya krupa sindhu bhyo vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవులకి జై, రామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి జై, శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ కి జై, చైతన్య చరితామృత కి జై, హిస్ గ్రేస్ జయానంద్ గౌరాంగ్ ప్రభుజీ కి జై. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ ప్రభుజీ. హరే కృష్ణ.
థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్. హరే కృష్ణ. దండవత్ ప్రణామ్ టు ఆల్.